Hello, friends. I'm your host, Christina, and you're listening to Radical Stepmoms, a podcast about the good, bad, and really ugly moments about raising a child that you didn't create. Here, I'll discuss the realities of co-parenting, the way stepmotherhood affects a marriage, the relationship with our stepkids, and most of all, navigating the relationship with ourselves. I want each episode to leave you feeling validated, empowered, and oh so radical. So pour yourself a LaCroix, a glass of red, or whatever, and listen in on Radical Stepmoms. Hello, you are listening to Radical Stepmoms. On this episode, I'm welcoming my incredible mother-in-law, my husband's stepmom. From the start of my stepmom journey, she has been such an amazing support. She's felt it. She's heard it. She's lived it. She is a radical stepmom. I wanted to chat with her, stepmom to stepmom, and hear her story. What was my husband like as a teenager? Did she ever disengage? What helped her survive the hard times? Listen in as she shares her words of wisdom for all of us to hear. Enjoy.
You are welcome.
Tina is my favorite mother-in-law. The one that I can relate to the most. And
that's because I'm your only one.
Yeah. I mean, I think what we have established or through our conversations and even through talking with Jake that, you know, my other mother-in-law was a bit of high conflict, which makes more sense now. Now that I'm dealing with her as an adult. But anyway, so how about we start by talking about when you first met Wally, how old were you, and how old was my husband Jake when you met him and came into their lives?
Wally, I was 25, Wally was 35, and Jake, we just figured out, was 10.
10.
And I met Jake, I would say, probably after our third date.
Okay. Was that soon for you?
I moved in with Wally after 3 months from our first date. So, you know, I don't know. Was it soon? It was what it was.
Yeah. Okay. So you met him after three dates. Was this planned that you met Jake after three dates, or because
was it planned?
Was it like, hey, I need to meet my kid?
I don't know if it was planned. I think it was actually mentioned through conversation that, hey, you know, how about us get together such and such night? You know, I'll have Jake then, and you know, you can meet him. Just very casually brought in like that.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And that's how it was. And then it was just from that.
You just dove right in.
From that time forward. Yeah. And there were those days where you go, what the frick?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, I met him and he had been, I'm his third wife.
Mm-hmm.
He met his first wife and he was her third at 24.
So Jake's mom.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, you know, when he shared that story that he was B's third husband at 24, I'm looking at him going, dude, big red truck. I'm just going to say, seems a little excessive for the age, 24. Yeah, and now you go forward, and I'm sitting there thinking, ooh,
yeah.
I'm his third. He has a kid.
So if those are flags, what prevented you from running?
He was a good person.
Oh, shit.
He was good when he was kind. You know, he was funny. He made me laugh. He wanted to be a good father.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to be just a Disneyland dad.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those things.
Yeah. And you guys have been married for how long now?
Going on 34.
All right. So, something worked.
Yep. Oh, but there are those days or those months, for God's sakes, where you just go, I'm not hearing what you're saying. You're not hearing what I'm saying. This is not necessarily a happy place, but let's just keep trudging forward, and hopefully there'll be something that will, you know, tweak and bring us back together, work as a team, go forward. But then you'll have those screw you, you know, deviate from the team approach.
Yeah. So, I mean, you jumped right into it. Mm-hmm. Did you, do you feel that you jumped right into being a stepmom?
Yeah.
What was the, do you remember what the custody schedule was like when you first moved in?
1 week on, 1 week off.
So like us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Do you, did you like that custody schedule? Was it like?
No.
No?
No.
What didn't you like?
1 week on, 1 week off scenario, I think would work perfectly for the family or the parents, the divorced parents, if they're good communicators and if they're good friends. Because you have to have, you need to work as a team to make it successful. For the transition from 1 week to the next week, there needs to be consistency. There needs to be communication of, little Bobby is acting out in this way. Okay, you know, watch this, you watch that. You know, there, to make it really successful for the kid, there needs to be good communication. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's just one family working against another family. When we had our weeks, when we had Jake, he would join sport teams. So, you know, need to go to practice that Friday or that Thursday afternoon, there'd be a game. We would go, it wouldn't be our week of having Jake. He would be at his mom's place, and we'd go to the game because that's what you do when you're a part of a team, and we would be the only parents there without a kid. Because
she didn't take him?
She wouldn't take him. or he would say, I don't feel like playing, Mom. And she'd be like, oh, okay, that's fine.
Oh, my God. It's interesting to hear you say it because we like 1 week on, 1 week off. But are you familiar with the term parallel parenting?
No.
Okay, yeah, it's kind of like newish. But that's essentially what we do with, you know, dipshit. we, parallel parenting is where you have kind of realized that co-parenting, collaborative parenting isn't
working.
Where we were at a point with her that we were trying to have that communication of, hey, this is what went on during our week. This is what we're, you know, trying to do, especially when we were dealing with all the potty training stuff or all of his dietary needs or all of his, you know, behavioral concerns. We were trying to keep her informed so we could all be on the same page. And every single week she would say, oh yeah, okay. And then do nothing that she was supposed to do. She was still putting him in pull-ups. She was still, you know, just totally saying that she was doing it. And so parallel parenting is when you're like, okay, your house, your rules, our house, our rules. We're not trying to collaborate anymore. We will on the most important things, like the things that we have to, like medical decisions.
Oh, so that's what you're doing now?
That's what we do. Yeah.
Wow.
Where we don't talk to her about what we do. We don't, and she'll try because that's her, she'll usually try to cross back into that co-parenting feeling when she has a boyfriend and she's trying to like pretend that she's super mom and stuff. Which is what she's doing now. But we always have to, like, remind her of the boundary of, we're not doing that. Like, you always say that you're going to do these things and you don't do them. So we're tired of holding space for you.
Right.
And us continuously being the only ones doing them, the only ones spending money and effort and whatever. We'll do that all on our own, but you're off the hook.
Yeah.
And we've been doing that for a while now.
Is that better?
Oh, it's so much better. We don't talk to her as much. We don't have to hear her bullshit as much. We hear from kiddo, like, what's going on and stuff, and it's like, okay, like, fine, but we're consistent in our home, and we're just, it is what it is over there.
And the thing is, if you just do that, don't bring in any of the emotional aspect of it, you know, from her and from him and opinions and express frustration. I mean, to each other, yes, but not mm-hmm. in front of
right. yeah.
the kiddo.
Yeah.
And then because he's going to figure it out. He's going to figure it out really, really soon. You're going into that age group where now they really need you. Mm-hmm. Now they really need you to listen to what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And come on, Mom, I know you can read between the lines. You gotta catch this. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm needing right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things now where he's starting to say stuff, and we're like, oh, well, how do you feel about that? Like, if he's, you know, because she's with a new dude right now. Well, not new. They've been together, I think, like a year. And she's like actually saying we and us and stuff. Like, they're a unit and that they're making decisions together. Which she's always super excited to do since Jake and I have been a wee unit for 7 years now.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, he's like, I don't want them to get married. And Jake and I are like, oh, why not? And which it makes sense because it's always just been the two of them.
Right.
So I can imagine that would be a huge transition for him. And
right.
So anyway, so back to you doing like 50-50, navigating that. What was your relationship like with Vicky? That's the bio mom, by the way. Drink.
I just really, the two of them, Wally and Vicky, could not communicate. There was so much animosity between the two. It was just pathetic. I mean, it wasn't about Jake. It was, they hated each other so much. That was the main focus. So I got to the point where with her and with Wally, you know, because he'd say something about Vicky wanting to be a Disneyland mom. Mm-hmm. And I, as he's then out of the other, you know, side of his mouth saying, we need to get him another gift. We need, you know, we don't have enough gifts for him for Christmas. You know, we need to get another gift. And I would say to him, dude, who's being the Disneyland mom now?
Uh-huh.
You know? Yeah. So I got to a point because those two just could not communicate with each other that I would just communicate with them separately. And I was just very, these are the family rules. This is, you pick up on or before this time. You know, if something happens, you must call. It's just very.
So you were kind of the mediator between the two?
Yeah.
How was she, like, was she respectful to you? Did she acknowledge you?
Well, I assume so because she followed through with what the game plan was.
Okay.
You know, whether she liked it, whether, you know, it would. I just got to a point where it just, this is what it is. And I probably, out of the three parents, had to be like you. I'm just, I don't, you know, Jake would say, well, my mom lets me do that. And I'd say to him, well, that's great. I'm not your mom. And in this house, in this car, these are my rules. So, great. I'm so glad your mom allows you to do it. But, bud, different house.
Right,
yeah, different house. And, you know, so I was always consistent with that. There was no, he couldn't sweet talk me or guilt me. I'm like, you got nothing on me, dude. I'm right. providing you with four, you know, three squares a day, harmony, you know, I'm not going to play this game, you know. And so he and I just had a relationship where if I said something, he knew that's was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I was his one consistent person.
I feel like that's how
and that's
how we are too.
Yeah.
Where it's so funny because, you know, bio mom will email us and talk about, oh, he did this and he, you know, was hiding under his bed and he just has all, like, when he was told that he needs to go back to school twice a week, he freaked out. Like, he sucks with transitions anyway.
Right.
He doesn't like school. He likes being home, kicking it, like, you know, not having to do anything, especially at her house. And so it was this huge thing that she emailed us about and was, like, panicking because she didn't know how to handle him. And Jake and I are just looking at each other like, he would never do that with us. Like, I mean, I look at this kid in not like a mean way of like, you know, I'm super stern, but like,
no, you just, he just knows. Yeah, he knows what your respect level is.
Yeah.
He's not going to cross that. Mm-hmm. Because he has attempted to in the past, mm-hmm. and it didn't work out so well for him.
Yeah.
So as long, and that's why I'm saying, as long as they have the consistency and as they get older and evolve, then they're going to realize, oh, mm-hmm. this is where my values and my personality came from. Mm-hmm. You know, this is why I am mm-hmm. who I am today.
Yeah. And in talking with Jake present day at 43, he, like, acknowledges so much of that, where he sees now how his parents all were, and I mean even with the parallels of our own lives, and the uh-huh. fact that I'm also 10 years younger than him, the fact that like, you know, Tina, Christina, you know, all that, but he acknowledges, like, you know, Tina was always that way. There was always that stability and that consistency with her.
And see, so when you said earlier, or I don't know if we had been talking about this, when you said, I love my kids, mm-hmm. both of them, with all my heart, mm-hmm. but I love them differently. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of funny because, and I think if you ask Jake and if you ask Kaylin, because Wally would say to me, you don't understand. He's not yours. Mm. So you're not going to love him the same. And I remember Wally saying that to me, and I'm thinking to myself, bugger you, mate, you know. Mm-hmm. You're gone. You're flying. You're gone 72 hours. I'm here 24/7, you know.
Taking care of your kid.
Yeah. Don't pull that bullshit on me, you know.
Oh, God. I think there are certain things that they say that to completely minimize and diminish what we do mm-hmm. and the commitment we have.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think one of the most hurtful things that Jake has done, and this hasn't happened since we've had Nora, but when we would fight or something, he would start saying, my son. Well, yeah. My son.
Yeah.
When any other time, it's our son. But it wasn't until he was mad at me.
Yeah, you get those boys, you push them in the corner, things are going to come out of their mouths mm-hmm. that they're going to regret mm-hmm. saying, because they'll forget saying it because they can't remember yesterday. Let's get serious. Us? Uh-uh. Trap mine. Yep. It went in there. It is embedded in my skull.
Yep.
What that, and the words you said.
Again, I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We don't forget. They forget instantaneously. I don't think they have the premeditated personalities to actively think, I'm going to do this just to piss them off. You know, they don't have
they
that. Just stupid. They're just stupid and they don't know what to say. And they're like, you know, they're having a little tantrum. You know, it's like, really?
So I have a question. Just, you know, I get a lot of questions about if you involve your stepkid in certain things. So did you involve Jake in your wedding to Wally?
Yes.
What was his involvement?
He was there? Mini best man.
Oh, cute.
The minivan. He was a mini man.
And then did you, so moving on with kind of your timeline, how old were you when you got pregnant with Kaylin?
I was 29.
Yeah, I was 30 when I got pregnant with Nora. So similar timeline. I mean, I met Jake when I was 26, but so did you tell Vicky that you guys were pregnant?
I don't know who told her. I know I probably didn't give a rat's ass to tell her. I'm thinking she just found out, you know, in one of those transitional weeks where Jake would, you know, Vicky, Tina looks pregnant. Oh, yeah, she's pregnant. Been pregnant for months. You know, I don't.
It's one of the, it's honestly one of the bigger decisions that I, like, get asked about of do you tell her, do you not tell her? And I feel like it's really dependent on the relationship you have with BioMom. And then, like, how, because we told her, we told dipshit before.
Well, because you knew that she was going to need to have a mental time frame to process it.
Yeah.
I mean, BioMom, you can't just dump things on her. That would Twitter-pater out of the universe. So, no, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to get let that girl kind of process. Just saying.
Okay, so what, there's a term that we use in the stepmom world called disengagement. And disengagement is, it's essentially like you're stepping back for your own self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're like, I can keep fighting you on this. I can keep trying to convince you that this is what's best for him. Or I can try and continue doing all these things while you continue to do nothing or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much a solution to resentment. Like if you're feeling super resentful because of all the things you're doing, you're deciding, you know what? You do it then.
Yep. I'm going to walk away.
Did you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Explain that. What kind of led you to that? What were the feelings involved?
Okay. So Jake's going to school. He'd come home from school. Wally would be there. He's supposed to get maybe something to eat and then do his homework. So I'd come home from work and homework had not even been looked at, started. None of his chores that he was supposed to do. None of that.
Mm-hmm. All the things that were kind of expected.
Right. None of that was getting done. And Wally would be like, well, who appointed you police officer? Or something snarky like that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, fine. Maria, you got this.
Uh-huh.
So now, and it's the hardest thing because, you know, I Twitter pate with clutter. I don't like not having a plan. I like to have everything organized. So I just, it was really hard, but I just thought, screw it, I'm not going to do anything. So now we go ahead a couple of months and we get report cards.
So you've stepped back from
from saying, come on, dude, you need to do your homework. No, you can't do that because you haven't done your chores. No, 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 no. Tired of saying no, you know, and then I just got called out for who appointed me to be, you know.
Right. So you're like, fine, fuck it.
Yeah, fuck you and fucking fuck. So anyway, I just step back and now we go forward and we have report cards coming in and F, D, you know, all, and Wally's ready to take his Wally role from casual conversation to Mach 30. You know,
and go after Jake,
and go after Jake for what the, and I'm like, excuse me, over here in the corner. I just would like to interject here that really you think you have the right to condemn this child and yell at him, yet you're the parent that didn't even participate in this,
right?
Helping him succeed. I'm just going to throw this out here.
Uh-huh.
Who should be yelling at who?
Yeah.
And so from that point on, it became, all right, now we're going to sit down. We're going to make family rules.
Nice.
And so Wally, myself, Jake, we sat down and said, okay, what is acceptable? You know, agreed, agreed, agreed. Okay, is this agreed, agreed, agreed? So now we have family rules.
Uh-huh, everyone's on the same page.
And there's no debate. There's no, because I don't like to, if I get pushed in the corner, it's not a good thing. I'm not a nice person. Mm-hmm. I don't play nice. And so it's not a good, and then you say stupid things that you wish you would like to take back, but obviously, unconsciously, for you to zip that little zinger out there, right. That there's some resentment built up in there. So
after that incident, was it kind of, do you feel like it got better with Wally kind of accepting your involvement?
Because then it became family rules, you know.
It wasn't just coming from you.
It wasn't coming, and like Jake would, it'd be Saturday, and he'd get a call from a friend. You know, they want to go to the mall. Hey, T, can I go to the mall? Oh, gosh, bud. I'd love to let you go to the mall, but you can't. Why? Why can't? You know, family rules. Mm-hmm. Family rules are, you know, you're supposed to have all your things done before mm-hmm. you get to go out and, you know, celebrate, so to speak. You got to do your shit in order to go out. And he's like, well, I'll do it when I get back. Oh, man, I'm really sorry, dude. You know, you had control of this situation. Yep. I wish I could, but family rules.
it takes a lot of the weight on you. Oh, that you're the bad guy.
It was awesome. And, you know, but because of that, it didn't take long for him to learn at our house he was going to do his shit. Uh-huh. And I didn't have to be the nag, you know. And Wally, you know. Jake and I had a system. He knew the system. Mm-hmm. And so when Wally would say, you just don't understand. You just don't understand. When you have your own, you just don't understand. Because
he would say that to you.
He would say that to me about Jake. Because I was so consistent with Jake. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, when you have your own, it's going to be different. It's going to be different. And you can ask Kaylin and you can ask Jake. It wasn't different. It was not different for Kaylin. Kaylin would look at Jake and Jake would be like, hey, dude, I got it too, man. You know, I got nothing for you. I'm not saving you.
And they're 14 years apart. And yeah. Okay. So let's talk. Before we, I want to talk about a little bit about Jake being a teenager. And then there's that specific story regarding Vicky that I want you to share. So how is Jake as a teenager?
I worried for him. God love his little pea-picking soul, but he could not lie or cheat to save his soul. I mean, God, you know, Wally and I would just wonder some nights that it's like, oh, I don't know what I'm more upset that he did an age-appropriate breaking rule or the fact that he was so easy to catch.
He was breaking. So stupid, didn't even try not to get caught.
Yeah, breaking the rules. It's like, dude, put in a little, you know, I felt like I needed to coach him how to put in effort to, you know.
Hiding your cigarettes?
Yeah, hiding cigarettes or, you know, sneaking out at night. It's like, oh, man.
So close.
Turn off the light. Don't bang the door when you leave. You know, it's like, oh, so sad.
So when you guys did, like, when you and Wally were doing discipline and stuff with Jake, were you on the same page as
pretty
far
much
as how you were going to handle it?
Pretty much. I mean, but we would definitely talk about it before we ever came down with the rule because, and that was a great rule that we had because with Wally flying, he would be gone. Jake would have a question for me and it would be one of those questions that I would also want to check with Wally, but I had no way of getting a hold of him. And so it'd be one of those things I'd say to Jake, you know, we got to wait. Mm. Got to wait until I can talk to your dad about it. You know? And once I talk to your dad about it, then we'll come up with a plan.
Did you ever feel like you were a single mom being a stepmom?
Single mom with all the effort, emotional and physical,
I asked because I felt that way sometimes, just when, and it was, it, and I don't know if you felt this way too, that it's been different now that I have Nora, where I'm always doing the mom thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's either one kid or two kid, one kid or two kid.
Yeah. You know?
But before her, and it was, I felt a lot more of that transition of, okay, another week with him. I'm on now. Our, you know, it's not just the two of us. Now we have him. And then Jake would be working all the time. Or
right.
Those are the weeks that he would, you know, have stuff planned in the evening or whatever. And it was like, he would go, you know, 2 days without even seeing him.
Right.
Just,
yeah.
And it was just like,
oh, yeah.
Okay. And if I wasn't here, what would happen?
They wouldn't be doing what they're doing.
Right. So, show some appreciation.
Well, and it was kind of funny because Wally was pretty good about that. Because one time, I think it was Mother's Day. One of our first Mother's Day. And he'd just become a flight attendant, or had been a flight attendant for a year or two. But meaning that on the weeks that we had Jake, he could be gone that entire week on a trip, you know. So I was the only one at home. And so that year came to Mother's Day. He said nothing, did nothing, nothing, nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing. He did nothing. And I was just like, are you freaking kidding me? And then when I mentioned something, because he was like, what? And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
And he's like, what? You're not his mom. And I said, okay, dude.
Oh, see, I don't know if you know this about my motto when it comes to the podcast, and I don't know if listeners even know this, but I have a slogan that actually Jake came up with, and it's mom is a verb. And it's not that you aren't a mom. It's if you're doing everything that is mom related, you're a mom.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's what you do.
Right. Yep.
So what did you do after that? Did you tell him how you felt? Did you tell him that you would rather...
Absolutely. I was just devastated. And you know me, I don't keep anything in. And you know, our boys have a tendency to, at first, when you're expressing yourself. Yeah, and maybe you're not as eloquent because you've just been
gutted.
Yeah, spear chucked right in through the heart. So maybe you're not so eloquent, but they get very, very defensive. And so, you know, he did that at first, and then he kind of came around, but it's just like...
So, with Mother's Day coming up, and a bunch of stepmoms listening to this before Mother's Day, if they really want their partner to do something for them, would you tell them to let their partner know?
Yes, if they don't want to be potentially disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Because, let's face it, some guys just don't necessarily think, you know, they just, and it's not that I don't think their appreciation isn't there. I just don't think that they are so in tuned with expressing appreciation. Mm-hmm. That's...
Yeah, there's a difference between feeling it and expressing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And they feel it because they know without a freaking doubt. It's just not something that they were designed to do, mm-hmm. which is, it just is what it is, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Mother's Day in particular is super hard for stepmoms all for that reason, where you are doing all of the mom things, but it's not a day that you feel like you deserve to be celebrated for.
Mm-hmm.
And you most certainly do. I don't know if you know this, but there's actually a Stepmother's Day. That's the Sunday after Mother's Day.
I did not know that.
Person invented it, and it's not on a calendar or anything, but it's there. Like how there's like macaroni salad day or whatever, you know, but there is a Stepmother's Day. And I mean, the first stepmother or the first Mother's Day that I ever actually get to spend with kiddo was like, I think it was the first Mother's Day I had with Nora. So I had both my kids and it was awesome. And it was because Dipshit didn't want him that Sunday. She didn't care. It was our Sunday to have him. She was like, no, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And it was just like a blessing to me because I always felt like if we didn't have him, then okay, like I just won't focus on it. And, you know, I would tell Jake, I still want to celebrate somehow. So Jake would help him like make a card or, you know, do it later, which is always an option. Like I feel like we can make holidays be a very big thing.
Yes.
Whether it's Mother's Day or you don't get to spend Christmas with the kids or whatever, but it's, I always just try and say like, take the power away from that specific day
And put it on
the somewhere purpose else.
Yeah.
So all right, so we're gonna take a quick break, and when we get back I want to have you tell the story of Vicky, story we talked about.
Okay,
right back.
All right, Radical Mamas, I want to talk about the first resource I found as a stepmom. Stepmom Magazine was a game changer for how I navigate this role. It's an online magazine with articles from all the top step parenting experts on all things stepmom. Each issue is packed with insights, tips, and validation from licensed therapists, published authors, and step family professionals who know and live the stepmom life. Stepmom Magazine also has ebooks specific to special topics like disengaging, being a full-time stepmom, parental alienation, and so much more. They are all available to download right now. I subscribed years ago and it was exactly what I needed to feel less alone and more supported. Getting that monthly email telling me the new issue is out is like getting a warm hug from another stepmom. To subscribe, head to stepmommagazine.com and use the code RADICAL20 to save 20%. If you find something that makes you say, yes, hell yes, me too, send me a DM on Instagram and let me know. I love hearing from you. Again, that's stepmommagazine.com and use the code RADICAL20 to save you 20%.
All right, so I want to hear this story because when you told me this a while ago, I was like, what? So from what I understand, Jake got into a car accident.
Correct.
Okay, so you get a call.
I get a call. It's a little after midnight on a weeknight.
And how old was he?
Jake? Well, he was 16 because he was driving. Mm-hmm. Well, he was actually probably 17. To be perfectly honest, he was probably 17 because he had gotten into some trouble when he was younger. So he didn't get his license until he was a tick older.
My husband, the bad boy.
Yeah. Not really. He was just, I get caught boy, you know.
He's just not very smart boy.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was. It's like, oh, dude, we gotta address this, you know. I'd be poor mothering if we did not address what I just found out because you just openly told me. Anyway, so
17, you get a call.
And it was the emergency room in Puyallup. And they said, hi, Mrs. Nelson. We know you have a young child. You know, Kaylin was just a wee little one then. But, you know, your son Jake got in a car accident. And he's going to be fine. Everyone's going to be fine. But he's a little shook up. And he'd really like you to be here. And I said, absolutely. And he said, just take your time, you know, And that's when he told me he had reached out also to Jake's mom, biological mom, and she was unable to come down at that time because she had a client the next morning that she needed to be there to cancel.
Oh my God.
I was like, okay.
I don't understand. Like, this is just the part that blows my mind. Like, your kid was just in an accident, and you're not going to come to the hospital to see them because you have to work in the morning.
Yeah. Cancel. And cancel work in the morning.
So you can't even come because you're going to cancel it. And this is what? This is a time before cell phones were a thing?
No, we had cell phones.
Okay. Then, so the no excuse, really.
Right. And Dad, he was helpful. He was out bushwhacking in Alaska somewhere on a hunting trip. So he wasn't even around.
So you go to the hospital and you see him. And I asked Jake about this, and his recollection is that, because there was a lot of, he had like a laceration on his head.
Yeah.
And they had to like get stuff out, gruesome stuff. And that you were like right there with him.
Yeah.
During this.
He had glass and everything embedded in his skull. And it was just like, holy
And so you go to the hospital and you bring him home.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take care of him until...
Yeah, Vicky came down later and picked him up. Because he was living up there full time at that time.
So he was technically under her care.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. He had moved... He had moved out of our place because he got into some trouble, and our rules were pretty strict. No, you're not getting a license. You have not proven yourself to be responsible enough to get behind a wheel.
I'm going to go live with my mom who will let me do this.
Right. And then he was with his mom for a short period, and he called and he said, I want to move back home. And we said, no, sorry. You made this commitment. You want to move. You will wait till the end of the school year. So we basically said, nope, you're just because you want to come back because it's not what you thought it would be. And so that's when he was up there with her. So yeah, he was with her full time. But yeah.
So then she came and picked him up, and did she say anything to you?
No. Not that I recall. I mean, it's been a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she said, oh, thanks for getting him. And I'm inside thinking, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
This is the child that came out between your legs. Dude.
Yeah.
And you were not here or there for him. I was just blown away.
And I was talking to Jake about this, and he was like, well, the same thing happened when I had my skydiving accident in California. When he, for those who don't know, slammed his whole body into the ground at 60 miles an hour and broke a bunch of things. He, was stuck in California, and you guys are the only, like, you visited him, and his mom didn't. Like, I just don't understand. But yet you hold the title of mom, and therefore you are, you know...
Something.
Right. Like, what? It makes me so mad. okay.
But the best part of that, though, for us living that and feeling that, is knowing, I can tell you... They know a difference when they get older.
Yeah.
Their appreciation and their appreciation, maturity, and how they move forward.
Just their awareness of what it was really like.
Is so much better.
Yeah.
You know, so, so much better.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's the thing that's really hard to remember when you're in it, you know? And because there's stepmoms who are... like, just exhausted from always being the bigger person or always being the consistent one or always being, like, they want so badly to just not give a shit because bio mom doesn't give a shit. But you know in your heart that it's the best thing that's for the kid.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. When you make a commitment to get involved with an individual that has a previous life to yourself, even though as you start to live that life with them, you had no idea of the emotional impact it would make on you as you went along, seeing and knowing some of the firsts that you never were going to get, you know, with your special person. And so, but the reality is when you say yes to an individual that has a child and has been married before, you're saying yes that, all right, I'll buck up and do this and I'll do it to the best of my ability. But it's not to say that they get to a point where you actively have to say, wait a minute.
This doesn't work for me.
Yeah, this ain't going, this ain't going well anymore. This is not a working system for me. You're going to have to, we got to figure this out.
Yeah.
So let's sit down, talk it out. Let's figure this out because we got to be on the same page.
Yeah, I feel like there's this, the progression of a blended family where like the woman meets the partner who has this previous relationship, previous marriage, has a kid, and you like, you know, make your assessment of it and you're like, okay, I have to appreciate that all this came before me.
Right.
And then you move through it. And then there's this line that you eventually cross where it's like, cool, I'm done just accepting the fact that this all happened before me. And now let's look into the future and how I fit into it.
Yeah.
Because if you want a future with me, that's what also has to happen. Right. You have to, because I think there's a lot of stepmoms who feel that they are just plopped into this pre-existing family and they can't have any impact on it. They can't make any ripples. Waves.
You've got to ripple. You've got to wave. I mean, sincerely, you have to. And it's not to say, Jake overall was easy. You know, it was a pain in the ass. And what the hard part for me, and I think a lot for you, is it's the fucking principle. Sincerely, as a mother, you don't drop everything for your child. Maybe not on a daily, I want to go to the store right now and get some new sneakers.
Sure.
Absolutely not.
Right.
But they're in the emergency room.
Right.
They've just totaled their car. I mean, you're in the car before you finish the conversation. So there's, you know, there are those things that you just go, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing that Jake and I struggle a lot with the other house is, like, she just doesn't believe. She chooses not to believe a lot of the things that are going on. Where it's like, okay, but do you not see your kid? Do you not see that he's struggling with these things? Do you not want better for him? And it's just like, wow, okay, well, then we're just going to do whatever we can to...
Yeah. And that part is nice for you.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be really nice.
It's nice having that separation.
Oh, yeah.
So, you mentioned that Jake and Kaylin had kind of a really easy, or I guess typical brotherly relationship.
I don't know if I'd call it typical.
Okay.
You know, and I, just coming from a family of four, you know, three girls and a guy, you know, our relationships were good. But Jake was just very in tune to Kaylin and very kind and very gentle and very nurturing to Kaylin. I mean, he wasn't a snotty big brother at all. Mm-hmm. There was none of that. There was only kindness that he shared.
Well, did you have any worries, like when you were pregnant, of what, you know, that dynamic was going to do to your family?
I probably did.
Yeah.
Because how could you not? But it's just one of those things when you have no idea how you are going to address something, how you are going to navigate it until it actually happens. Mm-hmm. And what I have found is we just, when things happened, we went into survival mode. And we tried to do, you know, what makes good sense at this time, mm-hmm. you know. And it seemed to work out okay.
As Jake got older, how did your relationship change? Like, did it, I think, especially in the situations where stepmoms are feeling like everything is just super, they're just waiting for a moment to breathe, and they are all waiting for the kid to turn like 18, and then that's when things are just going to get easier. Is there a moment or a time frame where you felt like you and Wally did it, and or does it ever really stop? Because
I don't think it ever stops. It lessens. Uh-huh. It definitely lessens as it goes down. As it's like, oh, okay, they're out of that phase.
And then you don't have as much interaction with the other mom.
No. Yeah. That's the nicest part. You don't have to anymore.
Yeah.
That's the nicest part. And that happens at 18.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what Jake is counting down for. He's like, he's 10. 8 more years.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, 8. That'll just fly by.
Yeah, but it will, actually.
Yeah.
That's the scary part.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that's... So, yeah, them having a relationship, they were always never worried about it.
Yeah.
Never, never, never.
Yeah, I worry about our kids. I mean, kiddo has directly said, well, you love her more than you love me. Like, to both Jake and I. And it's just like, fuck.
Like, yeah, but here's the thing. Kaylin told me, you love daddy more than you love me.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. it's just their way of saying, hey.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm feeling like a second class citizen, yeah. And I'm not old enough yet to know that, oh,
right.
This is age, this is, oh, yeah, this is normal.
Right.
They're not old enough to know that, you know.
And we have to remember, like, kiddo is coming from his mom, who doesn't have any other siblings. He goes from being, you know, the only child at her house and mainly just with her. And then he comes to our house and it's like, yeah, dude, you have to fight for attention.
Yeah.
Not only are us parents talking to each other, but there's also a crazy 3-year-old running around. Like, you got to talk loud. Like,
you want to be heard.
If you want to be heard, you just got to be louder or tell us what you need. And that's been a lot of what we've been doing with him lately is coaching him on, and both kids, coaching them on, look, tell us what, use your words, tell us what you need, tell us what you feel. And I mean, kiddo has always kind of had a hard time articulating himself, but I think it's been getting better as Nora's been getting older, where she is more like cool to hang out with, to him, where he'll be like, okay, let's go outside. Or, you know, he wants to play with her toys or she wants to play with his toys. So they're able to like actually interact. But what I'm finding is harder for Nora is when he's not there. Did you have those, like, times where you had to explain to Kaylin where his brother was?
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. Where he missed him, and...
Yep. Yeah, all those things, and they were all... He was just... He was just kind of, he would be sad for a little bit, but.
Yeah. Nora's just, oh, is he with his other mama?
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, honey, he'll be back in a little bit, or, you know, I'll show her the calendar and we'll do like a little countdown of, I'll put a star and this is today and this is when we get him. Mm-hmm. But it just sucks. It sucks. And I have I have a stepmom friend who, had another R's baby. So her first R's baby would have someone that doesn't leave all the time. And it's just like, that's the other thing where I just kind of overthink about her sibling sibling experience. And like, what if, because Jake and Kaylin have a really great relationship and they like to hang out still, and they're adults and they're like, you know, but I don't know if kiddo's going to want to do that for her. And that's like the mom worries that I have, where I don't want him to break her heart.
Oh, he won't. he won't. That doesn't even, there's a lot of things that cross my mind, you know, kind of, I get a little nervous about, and you know, you just internally, you hold it close and you pray a lot about it. Mm-hmm. And that never, not even on my radar.
Yeah.
That he would ever, 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 that won't happen.
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
Yeah. I gotta stop worrying about things.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, you do.
So I want to talk about the hard stuff. And the stepmoms that are either newly in it, more newly in it than me, who are wondering if it's all worth it and what makes it worth it and when to know when to leave or to stay.
Wow.
I mean, you made it.
Yeah.
So, what?
I think that the biggest thing is they have to be honest with themselves.
Our partners?
No.
Oh.
They have to be honest. The women.
The stepmoms need to be honest with themselves.
They need to be honest with themselves to say, I have to let go of having any firsts.
Mm-hmm.
I have to let go of the fact that he had a child with another woman that's not me.
Face that she's making when she says that is like of disgust.
Yeah, you slept with everyone that slept with her. You just go down the line. And
icky.
So icky, icky.
Do you judge him a little bit? I do.
Yeah. But then you try not to think about it because we're still with him.
Right.
We're still with him.
So yes. We're also judging ourselves?
Yeah. Just going to go out on a limb here a little bit. So, yeah, you kind of have to go easy on them a little bit.
So let go of the first. Let go of that they've, you know, had a child or multiple children.
But also understand that you can't be half in. You can't just be in the relationship with the young man. You're in the whole relationship. And having a child means it's not sexy. It's not glamorous. It's not like, it doesn't impact your time during the day. It doesn't impact your emotional status. You know, it impacts everything that you do. And I think there are a lot of women that get involved and just, you know, say, well, I'm out. Mm-hmm. Which is absolutely fine, but you know, you've got to think of the kid.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to think of how is this going to impact the child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, it's not something that everyone can do, getting involved. And it's not like you wanted to get involved with a married, or not even a married man, but you know, a man mm-hmm. with a child, because You want to have the first.
Yeah.
But there is something there, and only the individual themselves can answer those questions. Mm-hmm. Is it worth it?
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the trouble that I hear from stepmoms is they feel like they're the only ones that are trying to make it work, or that, you know, they don't have the support of their partner. Like, you and I, Wally and Jake, are supportive in that, you know, I mean, obviously they have their areas of growth. But for the most part, you know, they communicate and they make decisions with us. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's some stepmoms that are in relationships where they feel like a babysitter.
Right.
Where they feel like, you know, I'm not actually getting the recognition, or I'm not actually feeling like I'm a family member. I'm just here to take care of the kid.
Right. But they need, like you said, they need to have direction with that. Mm-hmm. The guys need to have direction with that, because they just don't necessarily get it. But, you know, I think women looking from the outside in, if you're dating someone and they have a child, but they have no sense of urgency or need of participation in that child's life, mm-hmm. that's going to kind of tell you how invested they are in your relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's mm-hmm. how much effort do you want to put in?
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you and I dove head fucking first.
But what we saw was not individuals that were trying to shy away from the responsibility of having a child,
yeah.
even though they were the male part mm-hmm. of it. Mm-hmm. They were actively wanting and engaging in a relationship with their child. Mm-hmm. And really, how do you fault a person for that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you really can't. But you need to understand, it's not easy. It is not easy to walk into a relationship with an individual that has a child.
Mm-mm.
It is not.
No, we have no idea what we're getting into, even if we think we do.
None. Not even close.
Yeah.
Not even close. But it can also be very rewarding. You've got to know, even though it is the biggest pain in your ass, that you consistently try to back out of being in charge of the little, you know, and let the biological parents kind of come on, mm-hmm. show me something, you got it in ya. Mm-hmm. And they kind of do, but it's questionable at best. But you have to say, but it must make you feel good inside to know how little feels about you, mm-hmm. and that yeah. in his life, mm-hmm. you are security, mm-hmm. you are all encompassing. The other ones are there,
right?
And he loves them, mm-hmm. and he finds certain strength within both of them that he likes, mm-hmm. but when it gets down to, you know, the bottom dollar, mm-hmm. he's going to go to you for all of that, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
So that has to make you feel that, and that's the reward.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God that comes
occasionally.
Like because if it didn't, this would be a really
thankless job. Yeah.
Yeah, very, very suckful.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when I hear, you know, the other mom talk about the issues that she has that I don't have with him, even when it's, you know, because he's an anxious kid, and there are certain things that he is unable to do when he's with her because she feeds his anxiety. When he's with me, he's confident. He can still, like, the only time he's ever been able to get on stage and perform at school with his peers, like doing a concert or a play or whatever, is when we have taken him.
Mm-hmm.
And Bio Mom wasn't there because she freaks him out. The only time he's been able to participate, actually, like, participate in doctor's appointments and feel, you know, not feel freaked out about that is when I take him. Like, it's all around the board. Anything that he needs to feel like he performs or something. Like, I mean, you saw at Kaylin's wedding was another example of his anxiety. Like, as soon as he put on the, you know,
shirt
and the tie and stuff, he freaked out because he felt like he needed to perform. And that's just who he is. But his mom feeds into that.
Uh-huh.
And she says, I've heard her. She says things that are the exact opposite of calming. And I'm just like, what the fuck? So he, like, that's what him and I have, where he comes to me when
he's... You're his grounding source.
Yeah, where I can, you know, dude, you got this. This is, you are going to do great. Like, when, first time he ever went to Taekwondo, it was, I took him. She tried the first time, he wouldn't do it. I went and took him, and then he did it. It's just over and over again. And those are one of the things that I latch on to.
Right.
Where I'm like, I'm here for a reason.
Right.
I came into your life for a reason. This is the type of parenting that I can contribute to. I've got you. You know, this is good.
You will always have his back.
Yep.
Always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oy. All right. Well, any other words of advice or nuggets of wisdom for stepmoms who are, I mean, in the thick of it like myself?
Yeah. Just remember why. You know, take the time to sit back and go, why did I set forth on this journey? And remember that you made the commitment and that there are going to be ups and downs. And, you know, there are going to be days, there's going to be weeks. Sometimes the weeks will run into months where you just don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
You love them. You do anything for them. You couldn't imagine being without them. But during that time, it's like, not liking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Going to go out on a limb here.
Mm-hmm.
I love you, but, mm-hmm. you know, let's just breathe mm-hmm. deep and try to work through the frustrations. And that's the other thing. You got to tell them. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to think, you know, marrying Wally, you know, I wanted the white picket fence where... Oh, everything's harmony. You have sex every night. Everything's, you know,
mm-hmm.
just wonderful. And it's like, oh, shitballs. This is not happening. What the hell?
This is way more complicated than I thought.
Yeah. Oh, son of a bitch. There's laundry all the time. Yeah. Yeah, that little whoo, gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Once you realize that, you're like, oh, okay. Can't mm-hmm. turn around and run out because you made a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And if they become horrific, then absolutely walk and
mm-hmm.
bail.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the biggest thing, like you say, with the biological parents,
mm-hmm.
this is not about you.
Mm-hmm.
This is about what's best for the child.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just focus on what's best for the child and the two of you.
Can
deal on your own time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in for you two. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of redirecting sometimes.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I fall back to, especially in our relationship and stuff, is like acknowledging, like you said, the ups and downs and that there's a season for everything. And
mm-hmm.
just because it's a shitty season, it doesn't mean that it's permanent. And so like learn from it, grow from it, figure out, but know that it's temporary and it's not going to be forever.
Right.
The other thing with that is, like you said, communicate with your partner what's happening for you. And I feel fortunate, like, having this platform and doing the podcast and stuff has created a lot more conversations with Jake and I about
mm-hmm.
my experience and about what I'm feeling. And I feel like that's really necessary dialogue because they're kind of dumb. And they don't really pay attention to things.
And it's so not intentional.
Right.
I used to think, if he really loved me, if he really, really loved me, he would know that he would need to ask me out on a date
mm-hmm.
and make it special and surprise me with flowers and this, that, and other stuff. If he really loved me, you know, 6 years later. Yes, I'm just going to have to frickin'. No, didn't take me quite that long. But, you know, you figure out
you start asking for it.
Yeah, you ask for questions. And because you ask that man, because I never asked for anything, hey, I would like to do this. Great.
Right.
Great, yeah. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
You know, or absolutely, I'll pay
and
for
while
it.
While it would still feel good to have them be that thoughtful and, like, whatever, it's like, I don't care. At least I get what I wanted in the long run.
Right.
It's less about the thoughtfulness, and it's more of, I want to spend time with you.
Yes.
And that's how I feel about the Mother's Day thing, too, where it's like, yes, it would be nice if they thought to celebrate you, whatever, but if you still communicate to them of, hey, this is a special day for me, I would love to be recognized.
Yeah.
And
they would.
And then they would.
Absolute heartbeat.
Yeah.
It's just, and no offense to any of them, they're just dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So you can live through life back in the day slowly. When are they going to figure this out? When are they going to figure this out? Versus going, you know what? They're not going to figure it out. If I want to be happy and I want this to succeed, which I do because I made the commitment, I need to share with him that something's not working here with me. So either we communicate and figure out how to make it work, or I may not be responsible for some of my actions.
Right. Uh-huh.
I'm just going to put it out there, people. You know,
you've been warned.
Yeah, you've been warned. You know, I mean, there's no sugarcoating it, you know, because these guys, woo, dense. You got to just lay the law and say, you know, it's just, that's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it is worth it. God, it takes time.
Mm-hmm. How, this will be my last question and then we'll wrap up. How is it now being a stepmom to a 43-year-old and seeing him being an adult?
Makes
married,
me proud.
Yeah.
Makes me very proud. Makes your heart full, you know? And the fact that I've always had and felt a relationship with Jake because we had nothing to gain from each other. We just needed to survive. And it's like, okay, you're the kid. I'm the adult. I have the guideline rules. We got to work together here, dude, because I'm staying. You're absolutely staying. So let's figure it out. And we did. But it was very hard for his father, you know, because I don't know, guys are just, you know, I think he felt like a failure because not able to stay married, not able to provide him with the stability of a solid family, knowing all the ups and downs that he's had, you know, that failure as a father, but he wasn't always necessarily the best listener, maybe, to really hear what it was about. You know, Jake would start and he would, you know, like try to answer a question before it's even asked. Like, well, so, you know, you start a
And Jake was never really able to express what was really going on.
And so, I know for Wally, it hurt him growing up, or not, as Jake got older, not to be able to have that relationship. But, you know, Wally needed to make some changes, too. You know, he needed to be more open, less judgmental, you know. Just allowing of others to do what the hell the other wanted to do. And it's okay. It is fine. No judgment. Just let it be. You know, and that took a while. But I think that's right now, you know, he loves his family. He would do anything for his family, I feel. You see that, you know, it just makes you proud.
Yeah, you did a good job.
He turned out wonderfully. He did.
He was crazy.
Yeah, he doesn't have any cheat in him. Not good cheat.
Okay, well, thank you again for doing this. We are actually camping right now. We are in a horse trailer. It's raining, I can hear.
Yeah.
So
sounds horrible.
Probably not fishing anymore, but well, maybe they brought rain gear. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening. If you have any follow-up questions for Tina, I would be happy to forward them on to her. As always, be well and stay radical.
All right, ladies, the episode is over, but do you want a little more? Come find me on Instagram and join the community at Radical Stepmoms Podcast, or schedule a one-on-one session and get that personalized support, or become a Radical member and gain access to exclusive content like bonus episodes and merch. Radical Stepmoms is so much bigger than a podcast. Check out the details in the notes on this episode.